Well, hello, hello. This is David Crossan, and welcome to the Financial Wake-Up Call. First of all, I want to start this podcast with the triple thank yous. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everybody that has been listening to all of my podcasts, and of course, this one. And what do we do each time we have our podcast here is to discuss different ideas, different thoughts, different subjects on investing, estate planning, and any tax issues. Of course, we lean on our experts for different scenarios, different discussions we have. For example, any tax issues, we lean on a CPA or an accountant. And that's one thing that I really enjoy about doing the podcast is bringing in an expert when we have a topic that needs some clarity, or maybe it's estate planning that we lean on an estate planning attorney. And the idea behind it is to come up with different aha moments, if you will, or just something where you're asking yourself, well, maybe that's a topic I need to discuss with my financial advisor. I wasn't aware of this, or the different options that are out there. So with today's topic, I thought it was important to talk about required minimum distributions. So for everyone out there listening that has a 401k, a 403b, or let's say a traditional IRA, where they're getting to an age that they need to start taking distributions. Now, keep in mind, these are accounts that are pre-tax accounts. The monies have been growing for you. There's been contributions that you've been making. And now it's a situation where when you take the withdrawals from these accounts, it's a taxable event. So basically, the IRS is saying, okay, you need to take out your distributions at a certain age. Now, for some listeners, you may have already started this process at 70 and a half, when the age was 70 and a half that you had to do these distributions. And then each year you have a certain amount that you need to take out as a distribution. Now, currently, it's at age 72. Or if you turn 72 after December 31st of 2022, you actually have to age 73. So a couple different things to consider, and this is good for people that haven't reached that age or are about to get to that point where they need to make some decisions on their distributions. Now, a question I get from a lot of people is, well, David, what if I am age 73 and I am still working, making contributions to my 401k, whatever the situation is, can I continue to defer that money, the distributions, or continue on making my contributions and not have to take distributions? Or because I'm at that age, the required minimum distribution age, I must start taking those distributions? Well, something to consider. Let's utilize the 401k. Let's say you're still working for a company, you're making your contributions, and you are getting to that point of the required minimum distribution age. You do have the ability to continue with that 401k and not have to take your required distributions, the required minimum distributions, I should say, until April 1st after the year in which you retire. So you have that ability to wait to take those distributions. And for a lot of people, they appreciate that because they may not need the money right now. They're still active with their 401k, and they don't want to create additional taxation, more money coming out that they're going to be taxed on, and they want this benefit to grow for them. So for people that have the 401k and they are working beyond the required minimum distribution age, they do have the opportunity to continue with that 401k, not have to take the distributions until April 1st of the year following your retirement. Now you're thinking, well, David, that sounds great. I also have a traditional IRA. I can do the same thing, right? No, you can't. So here's the hiccup with that. With the 401k that you are working for a company, you're making contributions, you're working beyond the required minimum distribution age, you do have the opportunity to delay those distributions. But let's say you also have a traditional IRA that maybe you've been making contributions to in the past, or you rolled over a previous 401k into this traditional IRA, you would have to take your distributions at the age of for the required minimum distribution. So it could be age 72 or if you turn 72 this year, you could delay it to 73, but you have to follow those guidelines. Now you're thinking, well, David, what if I don't? I don't get around to it. I don't take a distribution in a given year that I need to. What happens? I'll just make it up the next year, right? Well, not so fast. If you miss an amount that you're supposed to take out, a required minimum distribution, and let's make up a number. Let's say after the calculation, it's $10,000, and you don't take it for whatever reason, what ends up happening? Well, there is going to be a 50, yes, I said it, a 50% penalty on the amount you should have taken. So again, $10,000 you were supposed to do the distribution on in a given tax year, you do not. That's a 50% penalty. Now, can you fight that? Maybe there was a reason, a medical reason, something happened where you didn't take that distribution. Well, yes, there is. You could write a letter to the IRS explaining your situation, but that does not guarantee that you're off the hook. So bottom line, with the required minimum distributions, if you need to take these distributions, make sure you do so, or you are subject to a 50% penalty. So the next question would be, well, David, that's understandable. I understand what needs to happen here, but how do you figure out how much you need to take out each year? What is there a formula? What are the factors involved? Well, let's discuss it. So what ends up happening, and I'll just use easy numbers here. Let's say you have a traditional IRA, 401k, whatever it is, and now you need to take that distribution. And let's say it's $100,000. And let's say your age 76. So $100,000 is the year-end balance in, let's say, 2022. Now, here you are in 2023, and you're turning the age of 76, and it's always driven off the age that you are in the year that you take the distribution. So in this case, let's utilize age 76. That factor is 23.7. So what ends up happening? How do you figure this out? So basically, you would take the $100,000, that value, the year-end value of the previous year, you divide the factor, which is that 23.7, and that will give you the number that you need to take out for that tax year. And in this case, it's just over $4,200. So for a lot of people, they're thinking, well, David, is it a percentage that I need to take out? Well, no, it's actually a factor. You divide that into the previous year's balance of that account, in this example, the traditional IRA, and that would give you the amount you need to take out. And then each year there's a different factor, and you know, it goes on from there. Now, something to consider, and this is a question I get a lot. Well, people might say, well, David, I have three traditional IRA accounts that now I have to take these distributions, and I'll utilize an example. Let's say from the first one, you need to take out $2,000. The second one, you need to take out $1,000. And the third one, you need to take out $1,000. So put it together, it's $4,000 that you need to do in distributions. What you could do, because the total obligation, the total amount that you need to do as a distribution is $4,000. You could take the entire $4,000 from one of the IRAs, two of them, split it up however you want. The IRS just wants to make sure that you've taken enough out of your traditional IRA account in this example. So what some people may do is say, well, okay, I look at my IRAs, maybe I'll pull from the one that didn't perform as well, or let's say it's in a CD, I'm just making this up, and this one has a lower interest rate, I'm going to pull from that one, or the investment in another account didn't do as well. It gives you the opportunity to make a decision on which one you want to go with. So again, if you have multiple IRA accounts, I'm utilizing that as an example, as long as you take out enough for all of them, and again, the example I utilized was $4,000, you're in good shape. Now, getting back to what I said before about any penalties, and I've seen this a lot where people, let's go back when rates were really good. Maybe somebody could get themselves a 6% CD, and what people would do is they would shop different banks to get different retirement accounts, and they may have 6 or 7 different retirement accounts that they need to do these distributions from. Now, keep in mind, the more accounts that you have, the more distributions you need to do. And let's say you forget to do one, or there's a miscalculation, or whatever the situation is, Again, whatever you do not take out, there's your 50% penalty. You do not want that. So what I do tell people is, you know, with all the different accounts you have out there, maybe an old 401k that you're not contributing to, or a 401k that you're no longer working for the company, or there's different traditional IRAs that you have out there, is to sit down and maybe consider consolidating some of these retirement accounts, especially if you're working with a financial advisor that's helping you with your investments. This is a nice opportunity to say, you know what, I've got six different retirement accounts. Let me consolidate this. Let me talk to my financial advisor, and for a couple reasons. Number one, that financial advisor can look at all of your different investments to make sure there's not overlap in certain areas, to diversify you in a proper way, considering your risk tolerance and making sure that you have a good setup with your investments, and somebody who is actively watching these accounts and helping you with the investments. Also, too, let's say you only have one IRA or two IRAs. Now, the opportunity is there for that advisor to make sure that you take the distribution when you are supposed to. So again, instead of you having five or six IRA accounts, now you have one or two that somebody is watching out for you to make sure that those distributions do get done. So that's very important. Now, let's talk about options here when it comes time to do your required minimum distribution. Well, how can you take it? Like, what are my options? So number one, and a lot of people do this, is they will wait to the end of a year and say, okay, I've got it. I'm making this number up. Let's say it's $10,000. I will sell off an investment in my retirement account. I'll do a distribution. And of course, you can withhold tax on the federal side and the state side. So that's all cleaned up. So when you do your tax filing, the tax withholding has already taken place. But what a lot of people do is they'll sell off an investment, maybe a good investment. Maybe it's a good stock that pays a nice dividend, or a nice growth stock or growth mutual fund that does very well in your retirement account. But what they'll do is they'll sell it, they'll do the distribution and maybe withhold the tax, and then they'll put it in their checking account. And then it's not gaining any interest. It's really not doing anything for them. It's not growing for them. There's no real function to it other than it's now in your checking account and you've satisfied your distribution for the IRS. Well, something to consider, and this is something where a lot of people, that they're just not aware that they can do this, and maybe it's a conversation that their financial advisor has not had with them, is the ability to do what is called an in-kind distribution. Well, what is that? Well, think of it this way. Let's say I needed to take a $10,000 distribution from my IRA. It's my required minimum distribution. Well, what's stopping me from taking $10,000 of my investment that I have in my retirement account? It could be a stock, a mutual fund, a bond, whatever the scenario is. And what you do the distribution, but you're physically moving, if you will. I guess that's the best way to say it. You're taking the investment for that dollar amount that you need to take out, and you are moving it or transferring it, or I should say the best way to sum it up is a distribution, right into a non-qualified brokerage account. So at the time of that distribution, whatever the dollar amount is, when the distribution is done and moved over to the non-qualified brokerage account, that will be the value of the distribution, and that's what you're taxed on. But here's the nice thing. Now that this investment has now moved over to your brokerage account, your non-qualified brokerage, now you have that investment that maybe is doing very well for you and can continue to do so in the non-qualified brokerage with maybe other investments that you have. So that's something to consider, especially if you're just simply wanting to take care of a distribution, you like the investment that it's in, there's no need to sell it. In this situation, you'd have the ability just to do a simple distribution in kind and move it over to your non-qualified brokerage. And of course, if you want to do a tax withholding, you could sell off the cash portion in the IRA brokerage so that there is a withholding with that in-kind distribution. So there's a couple different ways to attack it. But for people out there that are taking distributions and simply put it in the checking account and not gaining any interest on it, this may be a nice option for you. That's an in-kind distribution. And just a couple other thoughts too. For people that are looking for the cash for monies that are needing to come out. Let's make up a number. Let's say it's $12,000. You need to take a distribution. Another thought would be if you do a distribution of cash, you could do it or set it up in a way that it could be on a monthly schedule. So think of it this way. I'm making this up. Let's say the amount you need to take out is $12,000. Well, what's stopping you from taking it monthly? So it's kind of like a nice pension, if you will, coming out of your account. You know, let's say that that's the amount you need to take for that year. And then you could utilize it for your maintenance fees, a car loan, whatever bills that you may have, maybe your insurance set up quarterly for a quarterly payment that you need to make. So you can control it. And a lot of people don't realize those distributions don't have to be at the end of a year. They could be during the course of the year. The IRS just wants to make sure that those distributions have taken place. Whether you take it at the beginning of January or the end of December, take it out on a regular basis so that you can utilize it for your different expenses, for your mortgage, your car loan, whatever the scenario is. You can do it that way, and it sets it up nicely for you to utilize it accordingly. Because I see some people, and again, I will say be careful with this. Don't wait to the last minute to do the distribution. I see people come in, here it is, December 21st. I'm just making this up. And, oh, I got to take my distribution. Well, let's be careful with that. Number one, the longer you wait, especially if it's something where you have to sign a document, the distribution form, and you're mailing it in to the company that has your IRA. Well, what if it gets delayed? What if it doesn't get processed right away? Or it's a situation where you want to get it to your financial advisor, and here it is at the end of the year. Maybe that advisor's out for the holidays. Or again, there's a delay in that it doesn't process until January. Well, you have a big problem. So I would say to people, ideally, if you're going to do a distribution, don't do it late in December. If anything, do it the beginning of December or late November to make sure it gets done, because you don't want a processing error in that it didn't get done in time, or there's a delay in the mail, or whatever the scenario is. Just be very careful. A couple last thoughts with any distributions. Being that you have to take the money out, and let's say you don't need the money. It's a simple case of you have a 401k, a traditional IRA, and you need to take these distributions because you don't want to be penalized, obviously, that 50% we were talking about if you do not. Well, consider something where if you don't need that money, but you have to take it out, maybe you can utilize it to pay for some insurance. What do I mean by that? Well, maybe this is an account, and I'm making this up. Let's say you have three kids, and it's a $300,000 account, and that's your retirement account, that is. And let's say you want to leave that to your children so that when you pass away, they get this account. Well, the hiccup is this is a pre-tax account. So when your children go to take these distributions, and they would have up to 10 years to take these distributions, there's income tax because this is money that's pre-tax. So they're going to have to pay tax when they do the distributions. Something to consider is if you don't need the money for these distributions, maybe consider doing some sort of insurance policy that upon your passing could help pay the tax that your children would need to pay for these distributions. So it offsets that tax to your children. Also, too, consider the fact if it's something where your beneficiaries may be a niece, a nephew, where they're subject to inheritance tax. Well, again, another opportunity to offset some of that taxation that your beneficiaries are going to have. And my last thought is also for people that do not have any long-term care coverage, you could look toward an insurance policy that maybe would provide the ability to tap into a death benefit to utilize the long-term care for their needs, and then anything left over would go to the beneficiaries. Now, again, you have to qualify. In a lot of cases, you would have to get a physical to make sure you'd qualify for the insurance that I'm talking about here. But I guess where I'm going with this is I just see too many times where people take a distribution and put it in something that's not giving them any interest, so it's really not doing anything for them. Why not utilize it in a way that helps you, maybe monthly or quarterly, where it can help out with different bills that you have, or if you just don't need the money for whatever reason, maybe insurance for the beneficiaries or an insurance that may help out the beneficiaries, but also provide the opportunity for some long-term care coverage for you. So that is it for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I think it's a very important topic. And again, everybody's situation is unique and different. So when it comes to your required minimum distributions, discuss the conversation or have the conversation with your financial advisor. And of course, tax issues that come up with your CPA and your accountant. So feel free to reach out to us here at Shoreline Wealth Management. Phone number 732-902-7880. Of course, visit us at shorelinewealth.com. And we have offices in Manchester and Manahawkin, New Jersey. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week. And I look forward to talking with everybody next time. Take care.